You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
That Guy Ritchie would just make a video game, because that's clearly what he wants to do. Like, that's probably what he should have been doing for the past, I don't know, 20 years.
No, he clearly wanted to make Game of Thrones, but has no clue how.
Yeah, you can't see me doing it, but there were a few times where my fingers were just instinctively trying to do combos with my thumbs and fingers. I couldn't do it.
I'm right there with
that
you.
That Excalibur see, power move.
I don't know the video, game thing is really his MO. His MO is like when they were telling the story and it's like quick cuts and it's referencing things that happened in before.
Yes.
That's Guy Ritchie.
That's so clever the first time, and then when it's every other scene, let me tell you what we're going to do, I'm going to show you what we're doing, and then I'm going to cut back to you telling you what we're doing.
Yeah.
No, it was fairly clever about 18 years ago.
It was clever when
he pulled that trick.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, and now it's 2017.
Yeah, well, for those that don't know, we are reviewing King Arthur, The Legend of the Sword, which was actually retitled. I think it was just called King Arthur.
Yeah, it's actually, and it's not a Disney live-action remake of Sword and Stone, which I was disappointed
in. There's a distinct lack of squirrels in this movie, and I was personally disappointed by that. But, of course,
there is no shortage of bad CGI snake, though.
Yeah. Oh, we got a lot of bad CGI snakes.
Oh, yeah. Wow. There's so many things I want to say about this movie, but I imagine we are trying to be spoiler-free. So,
and we can go on the spoilers at the end. That's fine.
Around. If we can have a spoiler section, then
I'm in control. So,
end,
you know,
so you let me know when it's okay.
You're in. Right now, this one episode I'm in control. Then later on, I won't be. But of course, yes, I am Chris Herman.
Patience.
JC.
Richard, the token Englishman who will get very angry later on in this review.
Mm-hmm. Marco Noyola, who's just angry, period.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's just the thing where I did appreciate the fact that there wasn't too much British slang in this. It was like, oh, I can understand it. I was like, oh, thank God.
Okay, but my problem with that, there was a lot of anachronistic, like, vernacular that I was just like, really? Do they really say sugar tits in the 6th century?
Honey tits.
They did now.
Honey tits. That's
what it is.
Yes, because sugar hadn't been imported from the world yet, so it would have had to be honey. Guy Ritchie and his screenwriters are going, damn it, we are on point about this.
He was accurate about the types of food they had back then, not so much the mythical creatures and giant snakes.
I mean, you mean ancient British mages didn't use, like, Native American smudge sticks in their rituals?
I thought that was pretty unique to them. I mean, King Arthur says razzle-dazzle at one point.
Yes, he does.
He says razzle-dazzle.
He said razzle-dazzle.
Yeah. In fact, I think the words razzle-dazzle come up twice in the movie, if I recall correctly. It's something of a callback. Yeah.
Not to mention the giant elephants.
I'm glad the elephants from Lord of the Rings Return of the King cameo. That was great.
Only this time they're bigger.
Scene, I was like, oh, wow, am I in the right movie? Is this Lord of the Rings?
Yeah, but
they're bigger
and
they have pyramids on top.
Yeah, yes, they did have pyramids on top. But for anyone that wants a plot synopsis, this is an adaptation of the Arthurian legend.
Let me stop you.
I'm just going to give this
right.
An adaptation. Doesn't mean that's so accurate.
Here's the thing.
All right, here we go.
The Arthurian mythos is old enough and in its earliest roots vague enough that you have a lot of leeway.
Yes.
There's a difference between leeway and just making weird shit up that does not work that you've included because you've seen it elsewhere.
I don't know, Richard. Yeah. I really appreciate Kratos being in this movie. That was pretty exciting,
thank you
right?
so much.
Or the main bad guy from Mortal Kombat.
No. It's not Kratos. It's Frank Frazetta fan fiction.
I thought it was a cover of a Molly Hatchet album.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the Molly Hatchet album cover, just brought to life.
Yeah, exactly.
Frank Frazetta's probably
what we have at the beginning is Uther Pendragon. Played by Eric Banner, has already unified England, which is a huge error in the basic idea of Arthur, that Arthur is the guy that unifies England. That's what he does. That's the whole point of the fucking myth cycle. That Uther has already done this, and his brother, Vortigern, who is...
Played by Jude Law.
Vortigern, who at no point in the mythology of Britain has Vortigern been anything to do with the Uther myth, and is actually a much later addition. that Jude Law turns up and stabs him because Ursula the Sea Witch. This seems very unclear.
Yeah.
Some kind of collaboration between Ursula and Sea Witch and a bootleg version of Frank Frazetta's Death Dealer, who apparently in this version is Mordred, although Mordred is actually Arthur's illegitimate son later on, so that all falls apart.
Well, no, he's
really
the little kid from the Justice League Unlimited episode.
Oh, don't make me throw stuff at you.
That was awesome.
who stabs him, who kills Eric Banner. Who then sends his son off to be raised by whores.
It was very
Moses
moment.
Because
it really works in Game of Thrones.
He didn't rescind him. He drifted away on a slow-moving boat.
Yeah. They pulled
no
a Moses.
Could catch him.
They pulled a Moses.
Who goes to Londinium, because we're seemingly in some iteration of post-Romano Britain, although there are various points where people are wearing what is pretty clearly 16th century attire.
Can we all agree that even once you take the anachronisms aside, once you take out all of the obvious liberties, this is still a pretty crummy movie.
Yeah. But the thing is, it's so incoherent at every level because, and dumb things. Like, this is for a version of diversity in Britain, this is a version of diversity where you hire Jimon Hunsu, but can't find anybody from outside of fucking London. Every single fucker in this film was from London because it's Guy Goddamn Ritchie, and everybody has to be a fucking South London wide boy, for God's sake, man. Oh, apart from, of course, the Chinese Kung Fu school.
Can I just say, if you establish that there are Chinese people in prehistoric Britain, and a Chinese man will one day assume...
There's no dinosaurs. Prehistoric.
I wasn't going to call you out, Mark.
Post-Romano Britain.
I always think of the...
Britain from a long time ago, Richard, okay?
Prehistory. Pre-written history. That's what I was trying to say.
It's post-Romano Britain. It's not prehistory.
I'm talking
What's your thought,
Dark Ages.
Dark Ages. Fair enough. Even more, because this is definitely... Arthur is before medieval. Anyway... Regardless, if you go through all of this trouble to establish that there is a Chinese man in London at this time who starts a kung fu school, who personally trains Arthur, who will one day become a member of the Knights of the Round Table, and you don't show me any kung fu, then you have wasted my time.
Well, no, guys, there was kung fu.
There was no kung fu in this movie.
There was kung fu in the movie, but the editing was so choppy we couldn't tell what was happening.
It was in that growing up montage, which, I mean, was kind of a welcome addition because it didn't take up 45 minutes of the movie watching him grow up as a kid. It fast-forwarded through all that in very Guy Ritchie fashion, which I thought was cool.
Actually, what was even weirder was that he wasn't actually doing kung fu in those moments. He was actually doing Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
There was a fucking Fujiwara armbar in there. I'm going, do you even know? Have you clue what? But of course,
Sparta,
That's kind of the thing I wanted to bring up was, I am not a fan of the way Guy Ritchie films action scenes or fighting scenes. Okay, lips
are
sure. But it's just, I think it's ill-suited for this film because at all times I'm always taken out of it because it feels so fake. Like, I understand that he wants to create, this world, this, hyper-stylized world, but, have this kind of more modern, way of, people are talking. That's fine. But it's this action, it never fits for when he's making a movie, it just doesn't work for me. And here, especially because there are parts where I know I'm looking at CGI Charlie Hunnam, who plays Arthur, by the way, just as, boring as he always is in all of his roles that he happens to star in. But, I'm sorry.
Hang on, whoa.
He is a dull actor. No, don't bring up the Sons of Anarchy stuff, because I'm I'm sorry. Name one other good thing he's been in.
He was okay in The Lost City of Z.
I haven't seen Lost City.
I would say he was not.
I stumped Richard.
Where is Folk?
And then
he's a great TV actor, but God, that man needs to fire his film agent really desperately.
Yeah, but that's with the action. This is for whatever reason.
I think he gets
the
scripts Sam Worthington passes on. Or maybe it's the other way around.
He was very nonchalant about the whole thing. It seemed like his action was very nonchalant.
Yeah. Well, he had a few good, he has a few good moments, that Guy Ritchie type dialogue. He's being sarcastic and snide. And that works. That makes us, it endears us to him. He's a rogue in this film.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of the action, it's just anytime that there was a big action scene, I just felt bored or I didn't know what really was happening. I don't know if anyone else kind of
I almost wish Guy Ritchie had never really transitioned to huge mega budget movies. Cause to me, Snatch and Lock, Stock, Two Smoking Barrels, that's the Guy Ritchie I like. And that's kind of why I'm always gonna be fairly forgiving of his movies. Like this has tons of problems with it, but there are moments where I see the Guy Ritchie I like. But
that was the Guy Ritchie of 20 years ago.
Yeah, that's true. And that's kind of why I say I wish he would go back to
more gritty,
I almost wish Netflix would tell him, we're not going to give you $200 million to make a movie. We're going to give you $10 million. Just make a really fucking awesome movie. Mm-hmm. And I think he would do it.
Yeah.
I think he would make a great one.
But what's most amazing is he's a guy who started his career ripping off Tarantino. And he actually has the most pure Tarantino ripoff moment. He finally gets to go, I get to do that thing that Tarantino did in Reservoir Dogs. And it was like, you have a new ground to prove your worthlessness.
This movie is kind of a whole mishmash of like, let's take King Arthur and a lot of other pop culture things. Game of Thrones, Lord of the Rings, Jude Law's channeling Scarface at some point.
It's getting high on those evil fumes.
Yeah.
300.
Little Mermaid.
Yeah. Little Mermaid. a lot of things are thrown into a bag. And it's like, instead of like, oh, let's eliminate this because it doesn't really fit. It's like, no, let's throw that in there. Make it fit somehow.
There is a precedent for making a film like this work. And I keep coming back to like Christoph Gans's Brotherhood of the Wolf, which was this bizarre 2001. I think it came out. It was a werewolf movie set in France during like the 1700s. And a guy had come back and he had brought in a Native American with him who had taught him martial arts. It doesn't make any kind of sense. Yet,
but it's glorious.
Film, it worked and it was fun. And you're like, everybody was in on the joke. It was obvious that it was supposed to be over the top. This movie has...
Watch the director's cut as well, because it's even better.
Yeah, I mean, this movie, though, King Arthur has maybe about 100 times bigger budget, and it doesn't even have a tenth of the originality of that film. This is just... I'm not saying there's no good things in it. There's some good things, and there's good actors in this, but these are good actors you've seen in much better stuff. I don't see why you'd want to watch them
The problem with this is it has 10,000 decent ideas that are all horribly mishandled, because the bad editing isn't just an issue in the action sequences. This is incoherent storytelling.
Yeah.
Characters wander in and wander out, and you don't necessarily get told who they are. You get about halfway through and you go, oh, that's supposed to be the Lady of the Lake. Well, you know, I mean, we can talk about Charlie Hunnam, like, sleepwalking through this, but Astrid Bergez Frisbee did not give a fuck about a single line delivery.
Who was she again? I don't even remember.
She's supposed to be the mage chick.
Oh, yeah, okay.
You can't call them the Fae. They are mages, which is like...
I don't even know.
Spilling on Fae is, Richard.
No Merlin.
Yeah, well, I know.
He makes a cameo.
And I feel like their original write-up was like, Arthur and Merlin shenanigans. And I'm like, there was literally no Merlin.
Yeah.
Well, they mention him, and we see like a hooded figure making the sword
They have to save him for the inevitable sequel starring Ben Kingsley or whoever can get to play that.
This won't get a sequel, by the way.
I hope it does.
I don't know. When I was waiting to fill out my form at the end, everybody that came out was like, "Oh my god, I loved it! Oh my god,
we saw it with a large
friendly
audience.
Oh my god, that was such a great movie!" Or, you know,
I mean, that's every screening we
go. He got two Sherlock Holmes movies out of his,
which I liked. Liked the Sherlock Holmeses. Sorry,
I feel like the studio will give this one more. See, I think it's supposed to be the start of a trilogy. I think they'll give it one more shot.
It has a $175 million budget, and projections for this upcoming weekend is $25 million. That's not nearly enough. Maybe it'll do well internationally, but it won't make $100 million.
If this gets killed by the wall at the box office this weekend, then I think we can cheerfully say that this franchise is done, and I would not be upset about it at all.
No.
This is just, you know, it goes from badly edited, which, you know, while some of that's Ritchie's fault, I think James Herbert, the editor, should be taken out and explain to him how stories work.
Yeah.
Because this has the structure of, if you've watched
Frank Herbert's King Arthur?
No.
If
you watch David Lynch's Dune,
yeah,
the version that you've seen is a horribly hacked down by the studio version of his, I believe the original version was somewhere between 5 and 7 hours, which actually works. And you have all these weird contractions that doesn't really make any sense. This was clearly designed to be like that, but it designed to be this, like, it just doesn't work.
The opening is a montage sequence.
I really was, the first 20 minutes, you just feel like, do you know what you're doing or why or who you think you're engaging with the storytelling? And then there's this weird compressed montage that almost feel like that was supposed to be a 2-hour, like 30 it's, movie, and they just went, this bit drags, and it just compacts it. And it's exactly like the sequence in Dune, where they're all on the back of the sandworms, and, you know, there's flyers exploding, and you're like, a war happened! And you're like, God, you don't know how to tell a story.
I would not be surprised if this movie, it was like several different movies before we actually got what we got. Because this was originally supposed to set for release on July 22nd, 2016. But then it was pushed to February 17th, 2017. And then we finally, were supposed to get it in, back in March. So, yeah, well, now that's when it was supposed to release, and now here we are in May. So, I mean, I think this movie has been edited, and so maybe those scenes where we see him, you know, Arthur grow up, there probably were in Guy Ritchie's original cut. The opening, yeah, it's very confusing. We're kind of given a Cliff's Notes version of his father. So it's Uther, not Luther?
It's Uther. Yeah, it's Uther. U.
Isn't it? But it doesn't have an L in front of his name.
No, it's Uther Pendragon.
Nah, I'm gonna call him Luther. That's how I heard the movie. That's
how
I
beam something
in
Ian Noggin in a moment.
But
filthy colonial.
But here's the thing. Come on. Now I have some positive things to say about this film, and I did like some of the dialogue and some of the interactions between a lot of the characters. I did get a sense of like kinship between a lot of those people in a short amount of time. Like, you know, with Arthur's, kind of two, I guess, you know, hustler buddies or whatever. I like that. And his chemistry with, Digimon Hunsu, I thought felt really authentic. I appreciated that. I don't know if anyone else feels the same way.
Digimon Hunsu didn't feel authentic because he shouldn't have been in that movie. But you're right. He's such a good actor. He manages to, he shows up in a lot of these sort of historical epic things and somehow always manages to get through without embarrassing himself, even if the movie around him is pretty awful.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's true of everybody in this cast. I didn't really, apart from the one actress you mentioned that you felt was kind of sleepwalking through it, I kind of thought that was an acting choice, maybe not the right choice. As far as good things go, there are some striking visuals in this film when you don't notice the CGI, and the score is okay. But frankly, I didn't know about what until you mentioned about all of those different edits and all the times this movie has been shuffled around in its release. That speaks volumes to me. I didn't know that going in. Knowing that now, I can see why they struggled to get it released.
Yeah. Well, I guess we can just kind of go into final thoughts and then we can go into spoilers. I'll start and just say I mean, like most of Guy Ritchie's work, I just found this really underwhelming. The action is shot really poorly. The CGI is really bad. You have some positives. Like, I did like, a number of pieces of the dialogue. Some of the character interactions are fun. But for the most part, I just kind of found it a slog. The movie's horribly paced, and I think you could have shaved off probably like a half hour from this, and you could have cut it down to like under 2 hours. It would have been fine. So for me, I'd probably give this, 5 out of 10 Blades of Chaos. It's a God of War weapon, by the way.
Yep. I feel like Guy Ritchie dropped acid, watched all of the Lord of the Rings, and then, like, chose King Arthur names out of a bag. I was very confused by this movie. The mythology is just not there. The visuals are okay with me. I didn't have any big problems with that. My favorite parts were the heist scenes, the classic Guy Ritchie / Tarantino-esque moments. That was my favorite part. I give it 6.5 razzle-dazzles out of 10.
I was a big fan of the King Arthur mythology as a kid. I used to always read the books, and so the rare times in recent years a movie like this comes out, I get excited thinking it's going to be what I'm familiar with, and the extreme liberties taken with this I was a little disappointed by. The Guy Ritchie parts that I enjoyed made it an overall okay experience for me. As much value as I place on being able to rewatch things, this probably won't get a lot of mileage out of me as far as like rewatching it down the road. And so I would probably give it 5 out of 10 Ursula Tentacles.
Nice.
Richard?
Guy Ritchie clearly thinks that he's Neil Marshall at the moment, and he is wrong. He's still Guy Ritchie. That is a curse that will follow him throughout his entire life. He clearly thought that he was making an episode of a long version of an episode of Game of Thrones, and in fact, he just made what really felt like a one of those weird, long, high-concept Heineken adverts with barbarians and dragons, and then you go, Heineken! You go, what the fuck is that? How is this? Why are there pirates trying to sell me Guinness? I don't get what the fuck the point of this is. This is just sloppy. It's not internally consistent. It doesn't have even the courage to commit to the, you know, his attempts at crazy charm and to make it a weird contemporary version. It doesn't do those enough. It's, you know, Charlie Hunnam will go, all right, kids, hoity-toity, down the market. And then they go like, oh, yeah, well, here's Jude Law over-enunciating again and stabbing relatives.
Channeling Scarface.
Yeah, dumb as hell. I can give this at best 4 crumpled up copies of Razzle around the back of catering, out of 10.
All right, Marco.
You know, every generation gets the, King Arthur movie they deserve. I don't know what these guys did, but boy, it wasn't good. I give this 4. Man, this movie doesn't even inspire any level of creativity on behalf of its creators or on my part. I give it 4 Razzle Dazzles too. Fine.
That would have been actually fine. 4 out of 10, whatever you just said before the Razzle Dazzle. That would have worked just fine.
4 out of 10 Razzle Dazzles.
That could be a good point. Maybe millennials just don't deserve a good King Arthur movie.
They don't. They just don't get it. Yeah. They clearly don't have the patience, nor does Guy Ritchie, to sit through it all.
Well, we didn't get a good one either with that stupid thing with Keira Knight. Was it Keira Knightley?
And Keira Knightley.
Oh my God.
Better than this.
My generation had Excalibur.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah. That was still better than this.
Yeah.
Substantially. I mean, it was very problematic, but at least it went, hey, if you had post-Romano British Arthur and you tried to create something coherent, okay, there's Picts. This didn't make any sense. But, you know, at least
Romans,
it tried.
His symbology was completely off. The first time I saw the eagle, I was like, that's not right at all. and then there's like a giant Colosseum in the middle
the
of London.
The Colosseum got me, yeah.
I was like, oh, what's... Okay, yeah, Romans left, you know, England.
But I do like the idea of a kid seeing this movie this weekend and then, like, going into school Monday, he was supposed to have a book report.
He's
gonna like do this movie, and the teacher's gonna be like, "The fuck is wrong with you?"
This was the Trump version of the Arthurian legend.
And I was severely disappointed that when we're doing spoilers now, right?
Yeah, I was gonna say this would be our spoiler portion, but I actually wanted to ask. I mean, go ahead.
I was just gonna say I was severely disappointed when King Vortigern's tower fell and there were no dragons. So.
Oh, yeah, no dragons in this film.
Out of all the CGI, there wasn't one fucking dragon.
Why was he building a tower apart from the fact that, you know, they had towers
tower
in Lord
of
the Rings?
The higher it built, the higher his power.
Jenga?
It was a bizarre choice.
His power level increases, making him a more difficult boss, and then in the final level.
Once the tower is tall enough, then he can control the giant elephants.
Yeah, yes. There was clearly he clearly had some adequacy issues, and they edited that part out. Jude Law had a micropene, and, you know, that was a whole subplot about that, and it was wisely removed.
But you did bring up something interesting in that, especially in light of the news that came out today with Trump fired Comey.
Yeah.
A large portion of the story is like Pete was a resistance building up against this like inexperienced king, and I was like, "Huh, this is interesting."
Yeah, I'm joining the resistance. But in terms of the like spoilers to the movie, so I wasn't aware of like giant squid mermaids or whatever. Was that part of the Arthurian legend?
Because
Ursula is in this film.
It's cool.
In the cast, they're called sirens, which is still Greek.
The sirens kind of were, but like Ursula wasn't.
Yeah.
Because you could have gone for Kelpie.
Yeah,
which would have actually been at least closer.
I mean, there is a lot of things he could have done to at least be consistent, a little bit more consistent with the Arthurian legends.
Or even British legends.
Pretty much the only things that were consistent with the legends is the sword, when it's made, gets thrown into the lake, and there's the lady of the lake that holds it.
Mm-hmm. And the dude's name was Arthur.
Yeah.
Monty Python and the Holy Grail was actually more historically accurate than this movie. And I mean that not as a joke. It really was more historically accurate than this movie.
You can, if you're really genuinely interested, there's a movie called Excalibur with Sean Connery. You should watch that.
Okay.
That's really good.
First Night was more accurate than this movie. And speaking of Sean Connery.
First Night had, Excalibur had way too much plate mail.
Okay, yeah. I'm confused. But yeah.
There we go.
I'm actually a big fan of Black Knight with Martin Lawrence. I think that's more up to
nice.
I mean, just to go around the room so that we'll bring it to an end. What's everyone's favorite Arthurian adaptation? I think mine is A Sword in the Stone, the Disney film. Patience?
Yeah, okay, yeah. I'm probably going to go with that one, too.
Yeah, I mean, I probably would.
All right.
I always like the idea, especially of the squirrels. And I always, to this day, I'm always like, I wish a woman would look at me the way the squirrel looks at Arthur. Anyway,
Richard,
too much about me.
You a fan of squirrels?
Well, considering that, according to legend, King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table actually buried just down the road from where I grew up. True story.
Wow.
They are actually supposed to be buried. And when England needs them, they will return. So, fucking Theresa May! Arthur! The fuck up! Wake up, you dumb bastard!
It's time!
I gotta go with Excalibur. I think that's still the most successful and closest to the feel of the legend and the inevitable, you know, that Arthur's doom is built in by Uther's actions and that it is unavoidable and Merlin's curse is always to see that coming. So yeah, I gotta go with Excalibur.
Yeah, Uther, he's a bad guy.
Marco. Uther, not Luther. The love of, yeah.
Idris Elba?
I was gonna say, when you cast Idris Elba, then you could call it Luther. No, I'm with the same. That was one of my earliest encounters with that series of stories was through the Excalibur film. And I think it's been a while, but it still holds up. So that's worth checking out.
All right. Nah, I'm just saying it probably could have used more squirrels.